ready? We'll just go ahead and start the whole episode over, alright?
Oh.
Sounds good? Okay. So, my name is Ray. This is Screen Heroes, episode 116. And we are talking about Deadpool 2 tonight. We're going to review the film and all of its maximum effort glory. I, of course, am here with my two regular hosts, Derek.
Yo.
And Ryan.
Hi.
Very lovely in their evening gowns tonight. That was a joke from earlier. Sorry. Just wanted to keep it in there. And,
I thought it worked. I thought it was all right. I like my J-Lo joke, but it's okay. We can move on without it.
All right. This is our guest tonight, Mike Flanagan. He is an old friend of mine.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for coming on. You're also decked out in Deadpool goodness.
I am, yeah. With the tacos and the Deadpool. And everyone says Deadpool likes chimichanga is best. False. Chimichanga is more fun to say.
There you go.
That's true.
The things you learn on Screen Heroes. So before we dive into the movie.
News!
So in the cartoon space, two cartoons have received new makeovers. The new Thundercats Roar, as well as the existing DC Superhero Girl shows.
Correct. So Thundercats Roar is a complete new reboot of Thundercats for Cartoon Network, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yep. Should be out later this year, I guess, this fall. And I don't know how to really feel about it. The animation style kind of puts me off considering what I've been used to with Thundercats, just how I view them. I'm not as put off when I see the exact same animation style on Steven Universe, but that was because it's new character, it's a whole new world, like, whatever. I also really enjoyed the 2011 storylines, because, you know, they were just really, really good. Yeah.
There you go. There's that He-Man goodness.
Right?
Yeah, I'm kind of a Thundercats purist. Yeah. I didn't watch the 2011 because it felt too anime to me, and I kind of love the 80s animation style with, like you said, He-Man, you know, the big muscular...
G.I. Joe, everybody has that people. Straight jawline.
Exactly, and you know, I like my Lion-O to be more, you know, big masculine kind of guy versus, like, Steven Universe, whatever, blob of... color, you
they
call
are
that?
Definitely blobs.
Yeah.
Like, I think that is...
It's way more cartoonish. It looks... these guys clearly haven't done any Star Wars at all. It's missing.
I can only hope that, you know, my nieces like it, and we can kind of just bond over
Thundercats. I try not to be gatekeeping, but, you know, it's tough when you love something a lot, and then it just changes a lot, and you're not sure how to deal with it, you know?
So, you know, maybe I don't watch this, maybe it's not for me. It doesn't appeal to me visually, so I can't imagine really getting into the story. If I don't like looking at something, I'm not going to really want to be more involved, so...
It definitely looks like it's directed towards a younger audience than the original show.
Yeah.
Or even the 2011 one, which is totally fine if that's the goal, right? They want to bring in a younger audience. That's fine. It just doesn't really look like it's for me.
Yeah.
But the DC Superhero Girls, I actually like their redesigns. It's a little edgier. It's a little kind of cooler, I think.
I think so, too. I think it's pretty appealing. It is drawn in the style that Lauren Faust usually draws in, if you're familiar with her, and Fosters and Powerpuff Girls and My Little Pony, of course, then you're familiar with her art style. A lot of people are having issues with the fact that they have revamped the main characters. Harley and Ivy and Kitana were kicked out. Everybody else is still there, but they also added in Zatanna. And I'm happy with that. I love her. I love the purple hair look that they gave her. So I'm going to give it a chance. The web series has been fairly successful, which is why they're finally moving it to TV. I guess people are just a little bitter that there was a change, because now there's going to be change in merchandise and change in costumes and, like, physical costumes, not just show. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
They have to change the costumes or else they can't sell more action figures, dolls, whatever.
Yeah.
That's why they had to keep rebooting the Transformers every couple of years. They need to make new toys.
Yeah.
Every Marvel movie. I mean, Cap's had how many costumes now at this point?
Yeah.
The poor guy.
Well, that's why a lot of people were saying that the 2011 Thundercats were canceled because of low toy sales. Like, low toy
and
sales will do that. But it's also ratings. Like, if people don't tune in to watch it, then toy sales wouldn't mean dick you know? Like, it helps. It absolutely helps. And both those shows were killed by Cartoon Network, you know? It took 2 years to get out the second season of Justice League because they kept putting it on hiatus. Even though there were finished episodes, they just didn't want to give them the satisfaction, which is why it's coming back on the DC streaming universe this time around. They're not even screwing with Cartoon Network this time.
Oh, you mean Young Justice?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can't wait for that.
Yeah. So it's not like Cartoon Network really helped out the shows in the past. I think they just want to build on their Steven Universe and their Teen Titans Go at this point.
And 70 episodes of Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Futurama is really the only show they ever kind of saved.
Correct.
And even that was only for a limited time, so, you know.
And I truly believe there are different people running their kids' department from their Adult Swim department as well.
Probably.
Sure.
So, speaking of kind of that mixture of childhood stuff and adult stuff, there is a trailer now for Happy Time Murders, which...
directed by Brian Henson, using the Henson puppets.
Yeah, it's an adult movie with Muppets in it, kind of, sort of. They're Muppet-esque, anyway. None of the actual Muppets seem
to be met a lot of men that have simulated coming with Silly String before. I never thought I'd see it on the big screen.
And not for, like, a minute and a half?
Yeah, that was just
straight. Like,
grotesquely long. I mean, seeing that trailer reminded me of that Angel episode in season 5 where he got turned into a puppet.
Yeah.
And I...
that was a rough episode. That may be the worst episode of Angel ever produced.
Strongly disagree. It was one of the best.
Well, how do you guys feel about this trailer for this really weird movie starring Melissa McCarthy?
I actually think it'd probably be a better movie without the puppets, to be honest. Like... now I just want to see Joel McHale and Melissa McCarthy star in a TV show together where they hate each other or something. Like, that sounds more fun to me.
You know, it reminds me of Roger Rabbit and just that crossover between combining the real live-action universes with, clearly a fictionalized one and saying, oh, no, they're in a whole real world together. And it could be interesting, but, I mean, yeah, that whole Silly String wad blowing really kind of like, I lost it's interest weird. At that point.
It looked really weird. It did not grab me at all. But Ryan, you're the biggest Henson guy in the group here. How did you feel about it?
I don't really know. Like, I don't have an answer. Melissa McCarthy is not my favorite actress in general. So obviously, right then, I was not super interested in it. But, you know, when I found out it was directed by Brian Henson, I just have really weird feelings about it. Because, you know, the part of me that grew up with Jim Henson stuff is like, would Jim Henson have wanted his company doing something like this? But I didn't know Jim Henson. Maybe he would. I mean, there were adult themes in a lot of his stuff, but nothing that was like just body fluid humor.
Sex and
gender,
right? And so I don't know. I feel kind of weird about it. I don't know if I'll go see it as much as I want to support Henson Studios. And I really want to support Brian Henson and carry on that family legacy. But I don't know. I just really don't. Maybe my feelings will change a little bit. Right now, I can't see myself going to a theater to see it. Maybe I'll watch it like later, but I don't know.
I'm kind of with you on that. I only laughed once, and it was at the ecstasy joke, because I don't know why, but, like, really blatant drug jokes are really funny to me. It's, you know, clearly addiction's very tragic, and death is very tragic, but watching Melissa McCarthy snort, like, purple rock candy and then die for a couple seconds, it reminded me of Ken Jeong dying in Hangover 2, and I just giggled. I just giggled.
Yeah. I mean, chat's got a few people in there that seem somewhat interested, you know, Avenue Q flashbacks and things like that. I mean, I love Avenue Q.
Yeah, I adore that.
But maybe it's because it's a musical and I know that they're not Muppets. Maybe that helps.
Are you saying that all monsters look the same?
No, I'm saying they're not Muppets. I'm saying they're not Muppets.
I was just quoting the musical.
I know, but I'm just, you know. All right, well, that's that. Let's move on then to the
Shazam Gate 2018.
Shazam Gate continues.
We actually have something.
We still haven't gotten technically an official release of anything, but Zachary Levi did share on Instagram a picture of him next to some sort of appears to be an advertisement for Shazam that nobody knows where it's at or anything. Guessing in the studio.
Zachary Quinto is not letting DC drag its feet.
Levi.
Quinto.
I said Quinto, totally. Yeah. Oh my god, Zachary Levi. Yeah, Zachary Levi is not letting DC drag its feet. They're not releasing anything for Aquaman. He is not going to let that happen for Shazam. Right. And I love it.
Yeah, I mean, and the suit does look better. I mean, you can't see the full whatever it is, poster or art or whatever. But
it looks like an ad for slushies.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't.
Oh, I love it.
The drink doesn't really look like soda, but it also doesn't look like iced coffee. I mean, you don't really know. Is it Kool-Aid?
That's
why is
he drinking out of against a Slurpee, man? Yeah,
but it's not like, aren't Slurpees like chunky, like frozen ice type thing?
Well, they are, but they don't. They're smooth when you see them in a cup.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's what it is.
We need to take you to a 7-Eleven.
Clearly,
but I feel bad for you that you're unfamiliar with the concept of Slurpees.
I mean, I know that they're frozen ice of some kind.
And what life have you lived?
Yeah, sure.
I'm sorry.
not a good one, apparently. But yeah, I mean, it was pretty exciting. The internet has responded fairly positively, although there's still the people that are like, why are they doing this Deadpool poster for Shazam? Because apparently when you use a white background in a poster, it makes it a Deadpool ripoff.
I think that people are... You immediately get that it's kind of a comic relief, that it's supposed to be a little sillier, more tongue-in-cheek. And Deadpool has been that for us in the superhero world. We haven't really had any other comedic goes at it from a major corporation or franchise, I guess. So the comparisons to Deadpool just mean that you've seen advertisements before. Because I don't think that you've ever actually seen either of these characters, that you've read a comic book of either of these characters, because they're so different.
It's apparently ridiculous. When you have two humorous characters, they're exactly the same. But there's a lot of people wondering, like, is this going to be a flop because DC is trying to do lighter stuff now, like Marvel does, or whatever, you know, the comparison they're going to make, and so, I don't know.
Should be lighter. Shazam should not be a dark thing. Oh, you want to give Billy Batson some tragedy because, I mean, the boy does live with his grandpa and not with his parents. So, yeah, feel free to give him a ridiculous, tragic backstory for a second there, but he's still a 10, 11-year-old boy, so you got to make his life a little happy as well. He's living out his fantasies. So.
And everybody's hoping for the Man of Steel cameo in it because Henry Cavill has been, like, they've been having, like, Instagram talks and stuff like that, so everybody thinks that's how they're going to try and tie it into the main universe. Mm-hmm. I would rather it be a Wonder Woman and him, like, not know how to, 10-year-old boy, not know how to react to Wonder Woman, like... being as tall as...
I mean, that would be cool, but I feel like they still need to keep Superman as a central figure in the universe. That's part of the
problem. But Wonder Woman's the only one that had a movie that made a lot of money. You're right. Still didn't make that much.
Superman's still Superman, though, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always enjoyed in the Justice League Unlimited cartoons the disconnect you had between Billy Batson and Shazam and Superman, where they clashed. Mm-hmm. And Billy Batson kind of came and said, yeah, I don't like you guys anymore. I'm not going to play in this sandbox. So I think bringing Superman into it could be an interesting foil. Even if it is just like a walk-on thing.
I don't expect much from that. I don't think it's going to be any story-wise anything.
The last piece of superhero news we have is Spider-Man related. Jake Gyllenhaal is apparently in intense talks to play Mysterio in Homecoming 2, which is also apparently supposed to bring back Michael Keaton.
Shouldn't it be like Prom instead of Homecoming?
Or Court Warming. Maybe Graduation.
I assume its title is not Spider-Man Homecoming 2. Oh. I assume that's not the real title of the movie, but what else would you call it?
Spider-Man 2.
But it's not Spider-Man 2. We already have a Spider-Man 2.
They can't legally call it that. So, it's a trademark.
Spider-Man Rise from the Ashes.
Just saying.
Aww.
The Mysterious Spider-Man.
Ooh. Ooh,
there you go.
Spider-Man.
No, I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal could be good. I mean, I am reacting to it poorly like I did Heath Ledger as the Joker when I first heard it. And boy, that turned out to be the wrong cut reaction. So I want to give it a chance. And I think Mysterio is an interesting character to bring to life on screen.
John pointed out that if Jake Gyllenhaal acted the way he did in Nightcrawler, that it would be incredibly scary at times because his character in Nightcrawler was very off-putting.
But will they go scary? I mean, Marvel...
Keaton was scary.
I didn't find that scary. Like, he was a good villain.
Not like the way he looked. He wasn't imposing or anything. The scariest scene is him threatening Peter in the back of his car.
He's a little unsettling.
Sure. Oh, man. And Michael Keaton just turned it on so quickly. So I'm sure Jake Gyllenhaal could do the same thing where it's just, ha-ha, we're happy. Murder you.
I'd also like to point out that the MCU is basically slapping Sony in the face because they're using the two characters that Raimi really wanted to use and Sony wouldn't let them. So, haha, second or, Sony.
Or Marvel was like, you know what, these are the best two characters to use, so we shouldn't make the same mistake. You know, it may not be a purposeful.
I also don't think they want to tread on what's been good.
Yeah.
Skip the stuff that's already been done.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need the remakes. So I think that's the smart decision. I'm not sure. There's a lot of stuff in the nerd community right now where every time a company does something, it's to spite another company. I'm not sure that that's true most of the time.
I'm pretty sure that Marvel, if they could, would really want to spite Sony, Fox, and Universal. I actually don't think they care at all about Warner Brothers, exactly. To be honest.
Well, like, so today... is May 22nd, and Mark Hamill's been doing all month long the May the whatever jokes, and he continued it well past, and he's still doing it the entire month. And so for today, he said something about Paramount's logo with the 22 stars, because there are 22 stars in the current Paramount logo. And apparently everybody in the community thinks that he's trolling Paramount, for some reason, I guess, because they own Star Trek and he's in Star Wars or something.
All that means is he sat there and counted the damn stars.
Right. Like, people are just, like, looking for problems, right?
Well, I think it's just the community thrives on conflict.
Yeah.
It's what we like.
So I don't think Marvel cares what Sony may or may not have wanted to do for Spider-Man 3. You know? But that's just me.
Yeah?
Yeah. All right. Any more news? Cool. Then let's move on to Deadpool 2. Before we dive into spoilers, we'll go around and give just kind of a quick non-spoiler, kind of quick review about what you think about the film. We'll start with Ryan.
If you like the first one, you'll probably like this one. It wasn't as good as the first one, but the humor is very similar. And the character is very similar. There's no really huge changes in the character. They introduced some new ones that are good. So, I mean, if you like the first one, go see it. If you didn't like the first one, you're probably not going to like this one either.
Fair enough. Mike?
That kind of nailed it on the head. I mean, it's not as good as the first one, but if you enjoyed it, that one, you'll enjoy this one. And they make some good additions. I can't say it any better.
Ray?
The only thing I can really add to that, because that's pretty much my sentiments as well, is they did a really good job of adding some twists and turns that I wasn't expecting. Pretty sure I went into it kind of knowing what I was going to get, and I didn't. I got a little bit more, so that was nice.
Cool. Yeah, I think we're all fairly close to the same page, it sounds like, at this particular juncture. So without ruining anything, we'll give your spoiler review right here if you have not seen Deadpool 2 yet. Especially if you haven't seen the first Deadpool, because I'm sure we'll talk about parts from that as well. Give us a pause, go watch the movie, and come back. If you're not interested at all, then we'll see you next week. There's your spoiler warning. So,
do you want to talk your...
I'll talk my numbers.
Talk your numbers.
I'll talk my numbers. So, Deadpool 2 did pretty well. Its opening weekend brought in a little over $125 million, which is actually shy of the first movie, which is a little surprising given that the first movie was a February release.
Right, but didn't the first movie, that includes Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the following Monday?
This includes all of that.
Right, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to step on your toes.
No, you're good. This includes all the numbers, not including Tuesday's numbers, because it's still today.
So
This includes Monday's numbers. So it didn't do quite as well as the first one, but still, $125 million opening weekend is good, right? There are plenty of movies that don't make that at all. Like Rampage still has not cracked $100 million domestically. So it's made a ton of money internationally, but just as an example.
Yeah. Video game movies do so much better everywhere else in the world.
Everywhere else. It had a $110 million budget, which was a pretty substantial increase from the first one. I didn't realize how much of an increase until we looked at these numbers, so that will actually impact what I have to say later. But it has passed the $300 million mark. It beat out Infinity War to be number one at the box office. Not super surprising, given that this was Infinity War's third or fourth week.
Yeah.
So, you know, at some point, somebody else is going to come along, and I'm sure Solo will take it next weekend, or this coming weekend, that is. So,
yeah,
you know,
most likely.
It's still a Star Wars movie, so, you know, a million people are going to see it.
It's blockbuster season. People don't hold the box office for very long in this time.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. Black Panther had a really wonderful Hurricane of Kismet, where, you know, all the blockbusters that followed in the coming weeks flopped pretty bad because of terrible reviews from both critics and audiences. And
well, its competition,
the representation was pretty great.
Well, that was a big deal, but its competition was much lower. I mean, you had Red Sparrow, A Wrinkle in Time, and Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
You know, not Infinity War, Deadpool, and a Star Wars.
Well, remember, they moved Infinity Wars up to April back in at the beginning of the year, and I got to imagine it was because they saw that nice gap where they could really dominate for a solid month.
I'm sure that was part of it. It also helped because they were already going to be releasing in other countries that weekend, so it helped avoid some spoilers for people. I appreciate that as a movie watcher. That's been a complaint of mine when movies release significantly early in other places, that it ruins it for other people who don't live there. So
you could say the same for trailers there at a certain point.
I mean, to an extent, you know, but like, for example, Star Trek Beyond opened a month early in Australia.
25 minutes. Really? Wow.
Yeah. So if, you know, if you were in Australia, you got to see it a solid month like a before everybody else.
Dollar, I think, but.
Full dollar. We're starting this new thing where if Derek makes a Star Trek reference on a non-Star Trek podcast, he owes us money. And at the end of the year, we're going to use that money to buy new equipment.
It's weird. It's almost as if my money already goes to the new equipment.
But now we can directly see that money go to the new equipment.
How much should he have to put in for a Star Trek reference?
All right. I thought what I was saying was relevant. It's the only example I know off the top of my head.
No, it was completely relevant.
Yeah. Right? That was a relevant one, because that's like a solid month is insane.
Yeah, a month is a long time, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
In the modern era of social media, a spoiler, the weekend of is probable, let alone a whole month. So,
for sure.
Anyway, so that's that. Those are the numbers. It did very well, but it didn't do incredibly well, which I think is probably anticipated.
Yeah.
You know, the thing I keep reading about is, does this signal superhero fatigue? And I don't know. I really don't think so. I mean, $125 million is nothing to snub your nose at. And I don't know. I just don't see the superhero fatigue thing setting in. The
majority of people are broke. They can't afford a movie every single week. That's. I made a post couple weeks ago that engaged a lot of people about when we can talk spoilers, and everybody agreed, you know, 2 weeks is long enough, and that's great. And it's just like, that's so weird to me, because I go see a movie in the opening weekend and then I realize that, oh, people don't prioritize as poorly as I do. So that's fine. That's
well, yeah. I mean, it used to be me and a buddy of mine in college would go see a movie every single week, and I hated it because eventually I ran out of things that I wanted to see.
Right.
And nowadays, and I've got kids, it's like I get to see maybe a movie a month, and even less than that because I only really prioritize Marvel movies almost exclusively.
That makes sense.
Well, I mean, Deadpool had some non-movie competition in a good chunk of the country, especially the Midwest. It was graduation weekend.
That's true.
So lots of families traveling, lots of, you know, graduation parties and ceremonies and that type of thing. So, you know, seeing a movie gets pushed lower and lower down that list when you've got a lot of relatives in.
Or higher up the list, depending on your relatives.
Well, that may be, yeah. So, all right, so let's dive into this thing.
Yes.
Let's do it. Where do you guys want to start?
I think we should start at the very beginning. That's with weird. Vanessa's death.
Oh, you mean with the woman in the refrigerator?
Yep.
I did like how the opening credit trail, it took about, in both of the times I went to see it, it took about maybe 2 or 3 minutes into the song, the James Bond kind of theme thing, for people to notice that they were trolling their own decision to kill her off in the credits. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't until I realized that it was starring someone who obviously hates to share the spotlight. It wasn't until then I noticed, oh, I see what they're doing there. And you heard those little bits of laughs coming out of the audience during that opening James Bond montage thing, which I thought actually was really cool.
That song was an original song by Celine Dion, by the way.
Which
the music video was awesome.
Oh, super like, weird. Apparently Ryan Reynolds just has Celine Dion's phone number and was able to get that to happen. So
you know what they say, it's who you know.
Yes.
And he knows Celine Dion, so.
In the credits, though, they also reference the director David Leitch, also directed John Wick, and said, so it's pretty great how they touched on
and the like Logan death thing. Yeah,
you know? Boy. Oh, that was hilarious.
How long before we see those things pop up on eBay? I mean, I really hope. I would love to see that little the Logan on the thing, and I thought that was great.
I did, like, cinematography was by Blind Al.
Yeah.
I thought that was clever. So I like the credits. But yeah, so I mean, having Vanessa be killed off pretty early in the movie makes a lot of sense. She was in very little of the promotional material and was not...
She was at, like, all the junkets.
Right, yeah.
Well, she has to do that. I mean, otherwise people just know that she's not a part of the film.
Right.
Well, she was a part of the film in the weird dream sequences.
Those were good. Like,
I liked those.
Her death... You and I talked about this. It actually held more emotional significance to me than... like, a lot of the deaths in Infinity War. But I maintain that's because I don't know how that's going to resolve. So, maybe Avengers 4, I'll feel better.
I want to know what Ryan's thoughts are here, because I feel like he's biting his tongue.
I'm just letting everybody speak.
He does that.
I know.
Do your thing, dude.
I think that this kind of leads off a huge problem that I have with the movie. The first one, basically... set up a universe where he's making fun of all these tropes. They're all made fun of in the movie, superhero tropes in general, or movie tropes, pop culture tropes. And then in this movie, it's still doing that, but it's also asking us to care about him and those same tropes. And a lot of them is doing it unironically. Like, they're not doing it so that they can make fun of it later. Mm-hmm. Like, they're wanting us to care about these things that they really just spent a full movie and a lot of this movie just making fun of. And Vanessa, is that her name?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Part of that. You know, the dream sequences were not done for a laugh. You know, you were meant to take those seriously. And it's to develop Wade Wilson as a character. But... for me, the fun in the first one was that there wasn't really a lot of Wade Wilson development. It was Deadpool, that's who he is now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. That it was a theme throughout the movie that they wanted to make fun of these same things that they were doing, but which they made fun of sometimes, but then other times they weren't supposed to, it was supposed to be taken seriously. And it really kind of... it wore me out a little bit trying to keep track of what I was supposed to be taking seriously and what I wasn't supposed to be taking seriously.
Did you laugh at random parts in the theater you weren't supposed to?
I didn't laugh at it, but I was just more like, is this something I'm supposed to be like, is this supposed to be funny? Or, you know, is this a joke or is it not? Like, is there a punchline coming up? Because every time that they were making fun of the things they were doing, there was a punchline. They were serious for a little bit and a punchline came up very shortly after. And so anytime that something was supposed to be taken seriously, I just, you know, I wasn't sure, is there going to be a punchline coming up?
Interesting.
Should I take this seriously as it's happening? Which, that was a big problem for me with this movie. I still enjoyed it, and, you know, the humor was good, and there was a lot of things I liked about it, but that was a pretty big problem in the movie for me.
Well, as a movie that is supposed to parody tropes, committing the girl in the refrigerator trope is pretty intense. Like, if you're not familiar with that, it was kind of developed in the 90s, where somebody was like, let's stop killing women to motivate men.
Yeah, and that's from a Green Lantern with Kyle Rayner. And I was thinking about that earlier today, and it was just kind of because you have to figure out what drives your protagonist. And a strong motivation for any protagonist is going to be loss. Mm-hmm. And yes, women keep ending up in refrigerators, and I'm not saying that's a good thing. And it's kind of a systemic of the problem that who predominantly are the protagonists? Well, yeah. It's men. So, I mean, and would Negasonic have reacted in the same way if they had killed off... I kept hearing Yu-Gi-Oh and I knew that wasn't right in the theater, but anyway, and I think that's just kind of the thing, is that what drives these protagonists, and loss is one of them, and you spent the first movie building up this relationship, and so it kind of had to be taken away. I was kind of hoping in the second one they would take her away and she would come back, because Vanessa is copycat. Yeah, right. So I honestly thought they were going to kind of go that way with it. Mm-hmm. And they might still, because she's alive at the end, supposedly.
Well, the irony of them using a mechanic basically invented in a Green Lantern comic book, that was not lost on me at all. So, you know.
But yeah, everything's undone at the end. He goes back and he saves Vanessa.
Yeah, okay, so all of that's canon makes no sense to me at all.
Oh, I loved it. It was it undid the entire movie, and I think that was okay, because Deadpool, to me, he isn't about universe building. He's here, if at the end of reading his books or watching his movie, Did you have a good time? Did you enjoy yourself?
I'm not talking about them resetting the movie. I'm talking about the scenes that take place outside of the movie. Like, the ones that take place during Wolverine Origins.
Oh, and that was like, so cathartic.
Like, that's just weird, and I don't know. Like, if you want to have a fun post-credit scene, that's totally fine. But to claim, like, that and, like, the Ryan Reynolds killing himself thing in two different ways is, like, that's, quote, canon.
Clearly regrets taking the Green Lantern role.
I'm not sure they know what the word canon means.
Right.
So
I don't think
that. I'm not sure it really, like I said, I'm not really sure it matters. I think it was just because they could.
And there's done some of that similar stuff in Deadpool comic books, and each one would spur its own independent timeline, essentially, so that it wasn't in the main timeline.
Heck, that's a big part of what Cable's all about.
Right. And so, you know, I didn't have as big a problem with that. Although, you know, I did think it was funny that, like, when we were talking about Infinity War theories and what was going to happen, and you mentioned that if they just did something to, basically, in Avengers 4, to wipe out everything that happened in Avengers 3, to time travel to reset it, just wipe everything out, that you would have a huge problem with that. But then in this movie, you don't have a huge problem with that.
I think it's lame, and Ryan Reynolds didn't like it either.
Okay.
He didn't want them to do that. He thought that if you're going to kill Vanessa off, you have to actually kill Vanessa off, and to backtrack is... I was reading a quote from him, but he basically said it's cheating because you spend the entire movie telling people to feel a certain way and then you reset.
And it was his whole motivation scene. Exactly. Through the whole movie.
And that's the exact same point I have for Infinity War. You want me to watch a 2.5 hour film where I'm supposed to feel terrible for these characters that you're just going to bring back in the next movie.
Right.
I don't want to go. I don't want to go.
That's all I'm talking about. So, you know, like, I don't like that. I think it was lame. You know, I think that. Especially when you call those scenes canon. If you want to have a bunch of random scenes for fun because it's Deadpool and you want to make jokes like the Wolverine scene, that's fine. Because you wanted Hugh Jackman in the movie, he said no, so this is your way of doing it. I get that. But to claim that you're now resetting the timeline in your post-credit scenes is lame.
Well, I mean, do you really expect Deadpool to pop up in the next X-Men movie? Or any, like, I mean, I know that there's the potential that the MCU can now incorporate X-Men universe.
And they can't yet.
So it's potentially on the table. And it's just one of those things, I guess I don't have that expectation of what's going on with Deadpool to be in any way touched upon even in any of the other.
I didn't expect Weapon X to show up randomly for a completely useless scene in Apocalypse either. So, true. I mean, it's entirely possible that they could do that. They have a history of it.
No, you're absolutely right. And they've you know, Days of Future Past was designed to completely erase X-Men 3, and we know that they're going to be doing an X-Force movie, and if they don't do an X-Force movie, they're going to do another Deadpool movie, right? So the things that they reset, especially the Vanessa piece, will have an impact on future stories.
Or maybe it won't. Maybe she's actually, like, maybe it's completely dead, and everything that happened after that was just for fun. It was just... fun.
Well, it was the right.
It was funny. I did find the stuff funny. So,
yeah,
like,
I agree. I laughed.
But they officially have announced that those scenes are canon.
And, so, you know, in a year, they can officially unannounce it, too.
Well, all right. Well, that's just lazy.
That's what Domino is. I mean, if you're talking about lazy, I mean, a character that has everything work out for them because it's lucky.
But that's clever, that's though, because her power is luck, which is satirical. Right? This is a real world statement that was made by the people who run the movie.
That is my issue. With telling and not showing. Stop telling me in press junkets and press releases that this is what you meant to put in your movie. Just start showing me that. Otherwise, I'm not going to take you seriously anymore.
Well, right.
It's the whole Lando's pansexual. That's great. Does he hit on dudes and chicks and space droids. Aliens and droids.
I hope so.
Because if he doesn't, then he's not really, and you're just queer baiting like an asshole.
That's what they did in the first movie when they were talking about Deadpool being pansexual and everything. It's like, because of one joke about getting hit right up Main Street, that was it. That was the entire base.
And I don't think it was.
And no, I thought that was a load of crap too.
All right, so we focus on the post-credit scenes and the intro. We missed the rest of the movie.
Okay.
Well, because the rest of the movie doesn't happen now because of the way
exactly. So and we're done. So. Good night, everybody.
I guess
let's
it's a good
talk
point.
Cable then. Let's All talk right. Cable. Let's talk Domino because they were fairly big in the movie.
Actually, can I just interject with one last thing about
that?
Like,
do your thing.
One thing I really did like about you were talking about, like, the dream state he was in. I thought it was really cool they kind of showed where his mind went to when he was regenerating like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've really ever seen anything touched on like that with Deadpool before. Where it normally, it just kind of felt interesting. And I did, I was kind of disappointed at the end when they pulled the whole time swap with the token to save his life at the end. Because the entire time they kept repeating, your heart's in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. I was really hoping it would turn out that, no, his heart was literally in the wrong place. That's what I thought it was going to be at the end. And I was like, oh man, all right, moving on. Cable. Yeah. I just need to get that bit out. I did think
No, that. You're good. We'll get to the death, too, because I have some stuff to say about that as well.
Okay, cool. So, Cable.
So, I mean, I thought he was fine. I mean, Josh Brolin's great in pretty much everything I've ever seen him in, even the bad movies he's in. He's good.
Men in Black 3.
So,
Jonah Hex.
I mean, look, I didn't like the American version of Old Boy, but he was still good in it, right? So,
he's not a bad actor.
Right. So, he did a fine job.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird because if you don't know who Cable is, you still don't know who Cable is.
No, like,
the Cable movie tells you nothing about him.
They really didn't.
In the comics, Cable is the straight man to Deadpool. He is a very boring character, and he ends up, like, platonically falling in love with Deadpool, and that's why he keeps him around, I guess. Otherwise, why not just blow his brains up?
Yeah. I don't know if that was a joke or not, though, because he was seriously grabbing Colossus's butt hard. It was nice.
Josh Brolin was good as Cable, but yeah, like you guys said, he was, I mean, I didn't really know how to feel about him because other than all he was a straight man of Deadpool. He could have put literally any character in that role, basically, and, you know, I don't know.
That was kind of the role Colossus
played in the first
one. Yeah, and he did it also in this one. So we had, and so did Domino. So we basically had three straight men to the one.
Which is a ratio you kind of need with that level.
I guess.
Cable's motivations. They didn't need in the first one. Like, the exact same thing happens to Cable that happens to Deadpool in the beginning of the movie. They both lose their loved ones.
Yeah.
And now they want some, they have to deal with that. Like, right? So they have the exact same journey.
I will say that by the end of the movie, I was on Cable's side because I hated Russell so much. I just wanted him to have that bullet right through his head. And I don't usually want children characters to die that brutally, but I just hated that kid. I was like, there is no redeeming this character. Just get rid of him. Please don't put him in a sequel.
I just kept flashing back and thinking of expecting him to call a kitty a bad kitty. And how cheesy food. Because all I could think of was, this is Eric Cartman. Is all I could think of.
You're not wrong.
I didn't like him
at all.
I found him to be obnoxious the entire time. I was talking to some people about it. And I just, like, he's not a good bad guy. He's not a good guy. He's just annoying and obnoxious throughout the entire freaking movie.
There was a lot of the humor in this movie that I felt was, like, trying a little bit too hard to be edgy.
Yes.
And he was centered around, not all of it, but a lot of it was kind of based around him. It's like, hey, let's have a kid flip somebody off. That's hilarious.
Let's have a kid pull a shank out of his ass.
Yeah, like multiple times.
Well, let's talk about it six times throughout the movie.
I also thought that at the very end he was saying, oh, damn, it feels good to be a gangster. And I couldn't help but think, that is a super dated rap preference for a child of that age to be making.
And this is supposed to be slightly
really
in the future, too.
It really
wasn't,
did.
Like,
it was just, can we talk about the timeline for a second?
Sure.
Wasn't
the first one supposed to be slightly in the future?
I don't know, but they had the 1980s X-Men there. So
they did. They had, if you guys didn't notice, they had James McAvoy, Alexander Shipp, Evan Peters, and Nicholas Holt.
And they looked exactly like they did in Apocalypse.
Yep.
So, you know, what is Deadpool set in the 80s?
Just that one room is set.
You know, I know you had a big problem with Homecoming's timeline goof. So if you don't have a problem with this one, then
dude, look, I think you're coming at me like for that. I hold this movie up to some like.
No,
high
I know,
level.
I know. I was wanting to know if you had as big a problem.
When they showed
with this
up
one.
In that room, I laughed because
right.
It was hilarious. And then I thought about it for a second, and I was like, "Why are they there? It should have been Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen playing chess or something."
Right.
Right.
That would have been way better.
That would have been great.
That would have been way better.
It would have been cheaper too, but that's what, like, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, they were probably filming Phoenix on the next lot over, so they could just pull everybody over.
And Ryan was like, hey, no, it would be really funny.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think they were. This movie filmed entirely in Canada.
Oh.
Really?
So, yeah. But they could have been filming at the time and just flew the ones
that
could go out there.
Is the mansion in Canada?
I don't.
Well, it could be an interior set.
But they had
exterior
shots of, you know, like when he's got the little the phone, the box, and stuff.
I'm
just asking. Because, like, I imagine that's going to be in Phoenix too, right? So maybe they were there conveniently on the same day.
Most likely. Who knows?
I don't know.
Who knows?
It's the only thing that makes sense, because at least then you could be like, well, look, we had these people sitting in the other room. Let's just do it.
Yeah, they didn't want to develop all new costumes for these guys that are now 30 years older than they were the last time we saw them.
Because what were you going to do? Like, cast totally random people and put them in costumes that look like the animated cartoon or something?
That would have been great, but it would have confused everybody. They'd be like, who are these people?
Yeah, and it would have been really expensive, right? So.
Although Spike walking by would have been kind of cool. X-Men, Evolution? Yeah. Storm's nephew?
Yeah.
It's an obscure reference, to be sure.
But. I actually watched X-Men Evolution more than the older show. So, there you go. But, anyway, no, that bothered me. I need consistency in my movies. If you want to be ridiculous, that's one thing. But I need some level of consistency.
The kid who also plays David Hollard in the Legion show, he was also in this. He was in the Essex School as the serial kid. That's what he's officially credited as, but because it's the same actor, people just assume this is also David Holler. So that makes the timeline even more screwed up. And
like, what decade is this movie in? Like, I don't even know what year. Like, Spider-Man was off by 8 years. This movie's off by decades.
Well, Spider-Man wasn't only off by like a year or two.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was a small inconsistency. Yeah. It was still an unforgivable oversight in that one. Yeah. My standard's just so much lower with Deadpool, just because it's just like I'm going there for the tongue-in-cheek comedy and the ultra-violence. And it meets that. And you're right, it's screwy. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying I accept that as part of what Deadpool's about.
But this movie, to Ryan's point earlier, was trying to be serious. Like, it has a much darker story. It's a much more serious story.
I feel like the movie tripped up because it couldn't ever decide who was the antagonist. Because
there wasn't really.
Russell's the antagonist. Cable's the antagonist. Juggernaut's the antagonist. Black Tom Cassidy is the antagonist. The Headmaster's the antagonist. Juggernaut was unnecessary and not okay.
I didn't hate Juggernaut, but like the only live action Juggernaut we've gotten is Vinny Jones.
I'm not saying that was any better.
But at least it's redeemed a little bit.
It might have been better because like it wasn't really terrible CGI.
Yeah, Juggernaut CGI, at least in the... Maybe it was better, like, I don't know, did they show us on IMAX or something? Sometimes that changes the CGI.
No, we saw it on IMAX. It looked pretty bad.
Okay, it looked bad in the regular showing, too. But, the suit looked cool. You know, I thought that I wanted the more, like, brown suit that's more traditional, I guess. You know, like the brown metal.
Oh, right.
They could have just made it look rusty, and that would have done the trick. But I thought it was cool when he ripped Deadpool up in half. Like, that was something that's happened in the comic books. But they didn't utilize his actual powers at all. Like, he just resorted to a fist fight with Colossus instead of, you know, using the whole momentum thing.
They did point out that he was Charles's brother, which was... Okay. It was a little bit of a hat. But the thing that I thought weird about Colossus is that why in the hell would the people in the Supermax let him keep the helmet? Why does he still wearing that thing?
Yeah, I mean that
because he's the Juggernaut. Because
he's the Juggernaut. So fun little fact for those who don't know: if you were watching the credits, the voice of Juggernaut was credited as himself. It's actually Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
He also did the facial mocap for Juggernaut. Little tidbit there. I thought he was just totally unnecessary.
He needed to be there just because they needed someone to bring in Cable again.
He was a mode of transport for the kid. And that's all he was, to get the kid from point A to point B.
But he really wasn't. The kid did basically everything by himself.
But yeah, but would he have been ballsy enough to go do that and go to that? You know,
I mean, you just have to slightly rewrite the character. Like, nothing changes in the actions that take place. Like,
yeah, I'm not arguing that he was a useful addition to the movie, but that's literally all he was a plot device to get the kid from point A to point B.
The thing is, Black Tom Cassidy could have been that plot device.
Yeah.
He has decent enough powers that could have been used instead of just, you know, talked about, I guess. And he didn't have to shoot him in the head. They could have saved a ton of money on CGI, but they wanted to go balls to the wall for Juggernaut, and I don't think it paid off. I thought it was a waste of effort when they had these other antagonists already they could have used, and Black Tom Cassidy would have filled that role.
Now, the Headmaster is the only villain in the movie.
Yeah.
Right? And so you have all these characters who are trying to be the villain through most of the film, or at least they're trying to tell you that they're the villain through most of the film, and none of them are the villain. They're just in each other's way. Yeah. It's really a story about three people in each other's way the whole time.
Yeah. Well, and I agree with you. They could have done a better job of finding a narrative, filling the narrative hole with someone other than the Juggernaut. I was just, as soon as I saw Black Tom, I thought, oh, they're going to use Juggernaut. because the two go hand in hand.
Well, when they showed the cell, and he's like, there's like a monster down there, I'm like, all right, well, that's the original X-Men character that shows up, because I had heard about that.
Well, it was just, yeah, because you needed something for Act 3 to bring the team together to fight, because otherwise you would have had... I was wondering the entire time before going in, it's like, okay, so Cable's going to come out, it's going to be Deadpool versus Cable. Then they're going to have to bring in some tertiary thing to say, okay, well, now we have to fight together to fight this guy. And that's what the part of the role that Juggernaut filled, but I absolutely agree. They could have done a better job to make it more interesting, because it was just, here's this big guy that can tear him in half. So thanks, Juggernaut, we get the baby legs, which was the most knee-slappingest part of the movie to me.
I don't think I ever need to see a baby dick again. Just a second.
Maybe as a parent, I've just been like indoctrinated to that. I've accepted that as part of life.
I must have like blinked at the right moment, because I didn't see
it. It was super quick.
But... I'm not sure if I like that scene or not. I feel like it went on much longer than it needed to.
So I went with my dad, who I don't usually go to movies with. The last movie I went to go see him with was the third Hobbit movie. So it's been a little while. But he really liked the first Deadpool, and I needed somebody to go with, so it was perfect. And he laughed his ass off at that scene. I have never seen him laugh so hard. I thought he was going to pass out. Like, he loved it. So, I mean, I think with the general masses, it's probably pretty... I didn't laugh nearly as hard as him, but I still thought it was... I mean, I thought it was pretty ridiculous.
There were certain parts
funny.
That were hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, when he got up and walked on the baby legs, like, that was funny, but...
I think when all of them were, like, ripping Cable a new one, they were just making fun of him. I think I laughed harder at that part, to be honest.
Oh, because of his fanny pack? Yeah, like, that was pretty funny.
So, okay, so we got the baby legs scene, but earlier in the movie, he gets exploded into a bunch of little pieces.
And we don't think...
He was fine, like... I'm assuming shortly after with no baby parts. So
well, there's some inconsistency about like if a certain part of him blows off, what grows.
Colossus
right?
did say that he watched him for 2 weeks.
So it took 2 weeks to grow a body under his head?
Or is it because he had all the body pieces?
Do they reconnect?
Yeah, I don't know. It's
like a C-3PO or something.
It's hard to say. I mean,
why didn't they just keep the lower legs when Colossus ripped them in half, and then he would have been fine? Like,
so they could do that
scene. Yeah, but you know what I mean. Like, in universe, it doesn't really make that much sense why they wouldn't have just. I mean, Colossus knows that obviously that if he takes both the pieces,
maybe
we
Juggernaut
need to talk about X-Force. Before yeah.
All right, that was a letdown. Well, I mean, it was good, but at the same time, I mean, as soon as don't do that to Terry Crews, guys. Come on.
Dude had two lines.
I feel the opposite of you. I don't think it was a letdown. I think it was perfect the way they built it all up in the trailers and the press junkets and everything, and then they're all immediately killed off.
No, I thought it was good, yeah.
When you saw Peter in the trailer, if you go see a lot of movies, you knew that either, one, he was going to die immediately, or two, he was going to save the day and be the hero of the movie.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, the first one of those things happened. He died immediately, and so did Bedlam, and so did Shatterstar, and so did the Zeitgeist. Bill Skarsgård.
Vanisher.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I thought it was... I actually really liked that they killed X-Force off. It was completely unexpected, and that movie...
Well, that was the best way to actually show Domino's powers, but everybody else dying because of these terrible wins... And Domino gets to live? Like, that was the best way to start her off, in my opinion.
Yeah, and her action scenes, the sequences they had of showing her extraordinary luck was so much better than anything else in the movie. That was kind of a letdown for me.
Better than most of the stuff in the comics. For sure. For her. You know, in the TV show, the X-Men TV show, the best they could do is, like, see her make impossible sniper shots. And that's her luck. Like, here she can drive a car without actually driving it, and she always hits her target, and she survives this terrible windstorm.
Well, I liked when you first meet her, she's like, yeah, things always kind of work out for me. Like, I kind of like that.
She downplays everything. Lux, not a superpower.
Yeah, I thought she was great. I would love to see her come back, and I think Absolutely. That the X-Force, with everybody dying, basically was to rebuild a stronger team. Of characters that we've... Because it's all pretty much the old characters, right? I mean, you've got... other than Domino, who was just introduced in this movie, but Negasonic...
Yeah, right, exactly.
Was the last movie. And Colossus, I don't know if he's going to be part of X-Force. Probably not, because he's an actual X-Man, but...
At this point, I feel like he's got to be.
Yeah, I mean, I loved the Deadpool and him interactions. That was great. And the interactions between Deadpool and Yukio, or whatever. Like, that was so adorable every time. Yeah.
Hi, Yukio. Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. And so I actually was a little disappointed we didn't get to see more of her and Negasonic. I actually really liked Negasonic in the first one, and I really liked her in this one. And there's obviously been some development, but we didn't get enough of her.
Yeah, she's super cool. I really was hoping to see a little bit
her powers were used very creatively, you know, to stop when she gets blown back by the fireball to stop it from damaging her.
That was good.
You know, I would love to see the more creative uses of the powers. But
when the trailer introduced the X-Force, and I'm an X-Force comic reader, I have most of the issues since the revamp in the 2000s, and I was like, why the hell are they using some of these randos that, like, get pulled for the most ridiculous storyline?
Shatterstar? Like, come on.
Like, really? You're gonna use a
Mojo alien? And they're gonna give him the costume? Like, yeah. Come on.
And then, to watch them all die, I was like, that's why.
Yeah. They went to the executives and they said, hey, give us like six characters you will never use in a movie.
as much as I love Terry Crews and I wanted to be in the superhero universe, like it.
That was fun.
It was fun and it was unexpected. So I hope he gets a role somewhere else in a superhero movie. But it was worth it. Maybe they're back. You know, I mean, he went.
I guess they did reset.
They were doing CPR.
And Peter changed, so you know they changed the thing with Peter. So maybe he went back and saved all of them. I mean, you don't know.
I mean, that goes back to the post-credit things where they're changing time and everything. So he goes back and he saves Vanessa, but he still has to go back to save Peter. So why is Peter still in that situation if the entire beginning of the movie doesn't start the same way? I mean,
oh god,
you want to start messing with time travel? Yeah, sure. We're gonna have to have a conversation. All right, so
terrible.
I thought all of them were really fun. The Vanisher part was probably my favorite just because, like, before they jump out of the plane, I wasn't sure there was actually a person. And then when the chute opens, I'm like, all right, so there's actually supposed to be somebody there. And then it's freaking Brad Pitt.
See, I didn't catch that when I saw the movie because it was so fast that I just didn't notice it. I don't know if I just blinked, like when you blinked for the baby dick. I think I blinked for Brad Pitt, which I would have rather blinked for the baby dick. Probably. Right there.
Interesting anecdote. I read that in order to get Brad Pitt to do this, his only request was that Ryan Reynolds deliver a cup of coffee to him. And he took the SAG minimum.
That's funny.
And it was, the whole thing was, sure, I'll do it, but Ryan Reynolds must personally deliver me a coffee.
I'm good with it.
He had to drop out. He was originally cast as Cable, and he had to drop out due to scheduling. So instead, they brought him back to this.
It would have been such a different Cable. I'm not saying it would have been bad because Brad Pitt's a great actor, but it would have been a very different Cable.
Absolutely.
Maybe that would have been good too.
Who knows?
I thought Stephen Lang would have been a good job. Or honestly,
if you want to see him as Cable, just watch Avatar, right?
For sure.
Yeah. It's basically the same character, other than time travel.
Absolutely. Well, then you can just watch Terra Nova and boom, there you go.
There you go. That too.
Also, Dolph Lundgren would have been great.
He's a little, I guess he's probably close.
He's too busy doing the next Rocky movie.
Next Rocky movie. Right. And he might be in the next Expendables, too, because that was just greenlit. So speaking of some of the cameos, though, there were two other cameos. Alan Tudyk and Matt Damon were the two rednecks that Cable first bumps into when he travels back in time.
And murders.
Which is just kind of hilarious to me. Now, the last two movies I've seen Matt Damon in are this and Ragnarok.
Yeah. He's their go-to cameo now.
Right?
Yeah. That guy doesn't actually work anymore. He just shows up for cameos now.
Speaking of cameos, I noticed Stan Lee was suspiciously absent from this one.
He's in like a painting on a wall. Like graffiti or something.
So it's like they're giving him the Netflix treatment where he can't actually be in it, but he can be like a little picture in the police station.
Stan Lee is very sick and there's something going on with him right now. Like everything on his social media is very frightening. So like I would not be surprised if we're done seeing him in cameos at this point. Which sucks. That completely sucks, but at least Infinity War is his last one, or maybe even Ant-Man and the Wasp, so who knows, he's going through some stuff right now, and it's very difficult to pinpoint. Go back, look at his Twitter, it's not okay.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you realize, like, his cameo in the first film was actually one of his larger cameos, so he clearly would have wanted to do it if he could.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Honestly... He's still a fun, dirty old man. So when Iron Man wanted him as Hugh Hefner and told him he hey, we got real playmates to be on your army. And when Deadpool was like, you're going to be a DJ at a real strip club and you're going to see some tits, he was like, yeah,
actually,
I'm there.
No, he wasn't in an actual strip club for that. He was on like a different set. Yeah, no.
But I bet that is how they promised it to him.
He's pissed about it. He was told he was going to be in this strip club full of people, and he goes into sound booth, like it's a stage for the DJ booth, and it's not actually at the same set. No. He was not happy.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay, so what were your guys' like favorite references? There was a lot of references to other things throughout this.
That somebody can't draw feet was a good one.
Oh, Rob Liefeld.
That's a deep cut. Yeah. If you're not a deep
cut. I picked that one up, and I thought on the second show I thought of that. Honestly, my favorite one was it was a self-referential one, which I kind of got tired of them after
there
a certain
were a
point.
Lot.
But one of the first ones was him going back to pick up the cocaine right next to the score for Blindness, and then the punch in the face and LeBron move. I thought that was great.
Referencing the first movie was fun with
that. For the first two, the Jesus line of speaking his name in the same sentence as Jesus with the domestic gross and everything, and then the cure for blindness, and then everything else after that, which is kind of, get something fresher.
I'm with you on that one.
I don't know if I have. I mean, that's the cocaine thing. Yeah, that next to the cure for blindness was pretty hilarious. That was nice because it's very quick, and if you're not thinking about it, you probably would miss it. So I like that one quite a bit. I don't know.
Out of all the references to Brolin's previous work, the One-Eyed Willy one was my favorite because Goonies is one of my all-time favorite movies. Yeah. And
they did keep the Thanos line in there, although it was different than the one in the trailer, but it's still.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I thought that would not make it. I also didn't think the DC Universe line would make it.
I knew that was going to be in there. Like, I'm a little sick of it at this point. Like, just
the Martha joke. I did laugh at the Martha joke. I got to be honest.
Sometimes it's funny, you know, but I'm just, at this point, like, just make your own movie.
I didn't watch the trailer for this one as much as I did the first one. And in the first one, I was kind of disappointed because I felt like there were a bunch of different jokes that were in the trailers that ended up being in the movie. Where it could have been something like, clearly it was TJ Miller and Ryan Reynolds just ad-libbing stuff, and they used the same jokes. And I saw that same thing here, and it kind of disappointed me. So I mean, the DC Universe one, that's a great one, where it was like, yeah, it's a funny line, but maybe pick something different than what you use in the trailer.
It's kind of easy pickings. Like, everybody's been making fun of the DC stuff since BVS came out, and the Martha thing. Yeah, we get it, it's funny. And I laughed, like I said.
Well, that's why, like, some jokes are like, the Thanos joke is funny, because it's actually the same actor playing.
And it's literally still, like, in theaters. It's
right. Like it's timely. That's funny. You're not, it's not a low blow kind of joke, you know? Like, this movie is.
Josh Brolin's collected two really great paychecks right now. Right. Like, it's not like he cares.
But this movie is essentially 2 hours of nothing but jokes. I don't feel like they would have been short. You know, and they were just trying to desperately find jokes. It just gets a little old at this point.
Yeah, the Green Lantern jokes are definitely a little played out.
Well, that was my point where it was like, the whole premise of the movie is based on a mechanic invented in a Green Lantern comic book, and then you're going to spend chunks of the movie insulting Green Lantern.
I'm actually hoping that him shooting Ryan Reynolds in the head right before he takes Green Lantern is him killing that joke. Like, we're done, okay? Congrats. We had 10 years of making fun of this really crap movie. Like, let's move on.
I was
kind of
disappointed there weren't any Jonah Hex jokes,
right? Like, make fun of that piece of
but not everybody makes fun of that movie and remembers that he was in it, but everybody remembers Green Lantern because it kind of killed off the start of the DC universe that they were going to make there.
Oh,
so.
Jonah Hex was a terrible film, and Michael Fassbender was in that.
The rest in peace department, that's all I gotta say. The rest in peace department,
there's plenty of material to pick from.
And Jeff Bridges is one of my favorite actors of all time. That is a bad movie, so
I never saw it. It just looked too much like Men in Black to me.
It's like Men in Black, but with ghosts instead of aliens.
Yeah, exactly. It just looked shredded.
Bad special effects. But anyway, all right. So I will say, I will gripe on the special effects a little bit in this movie now that I know how much more money it got. Its budget is almost double the first film, and the first film looks better.
And his mask didn't emote as much in this one. Like, in the first in the first one, it seemed like they were really utilizing, like, the dots on the eyes to make him emote. And in this one, I really didn't notice it as much. I was watching for it, and every time he put the mask on, I was watching for, okay. And there was a couple parts when it did it, but I really didn't notice it very much, which is disappointing, because it helps you connect to Deadpool as a character instead of Wade.
That's such a key part of it, but no, I think you're right. And I will agree, basically, they had twice the budget, and it didn't feel as good. I mean, I've watched the 12 bullet scene from the first one just a ridiculous amount of times. And it is just It's just so perfect. And this movie didn't have as much good Deadpool action. I mean, the Domino scenes were better with her showing her. And I think that was partially because with the first one, their feet were to the fire on so many different levels. With, if this doesn't work, they can't do it anymore. If they had to, they had to make it work with the budget they had. This time around, they had more studio confidence. And they felt like the pressure wasn't as intense this time around. And you could really kind of tell.
The director being almost personally fired by Ryan Reynolds over his casting choice for Cable. And I can't really blame him. The lead from Friday Night Lights? That's stupid. What are you doing? That dude doesn't do any. Ugh, gross. But he had such a huge hand in making the first one so stylized and sharp that I just don't think it was maybe the smart move to kick him out completely. Maybe just, you know...
Well, some of it is just how they wanted to do some things. Like, Juggernaut looked bad. That was bad CGI. The baby legs were bad. Those were not rendered well at all. It looked old. It looked like old CGI from...
Like the Ally McBeal baby. That was really creepy.
Oh, it was a touch better than that.
But, like, think what we're talking about here, though, right? Like, I mean, I get it. You wanted to have that joke. But if you're not able to actually do it, then don't do it. Right? If you have to cut it, you have to cut it. And some of the best movies and TV show concepts we have are because budgets were tight and they had to come up with something else. This is one of those times where maybe don't use Juggernaut if you can't afford to make Juggernaut.
Yeah.
Right? Use somebody else or
there
don't.
There are other powerhouse mutants that have much more, you know, easily displayed powers that they could have done. Didn't have to be Black Tom Cassidy either. So.
You know, I really think they just did Juggernaut because they wanted to rip him in half, because they wanted to do the baby legs, because they wanted to build up for more than the tiny hand, because that was such a huge hit the first time.
That's the problem. The two worst CGI scenes are connected to each other from that standpoint. They couldn't afford to do either of them. So
I will say I did like, after he got ripped in half, that they duct taped his suit together.
Yeah,
like, there was some consistency
so
there.
Funny.
It was really good, yeah.
But that's the low-tech stuff, right? Like, the low-tech stuff was pulled off really well, right?
I know a lot of people really appreciated him getting the red suit dirty and it looking like the gray.
Yeah, I thought that was good.
As a cosplayer, I was really annoyed because I was like, there's no way that actually looks like that when dust hits that costume.
Maybe I'm wrong, but in the trailers, he had that same look, but when he was coming out of a coffin.
Yeah.
But then in the actual movie, when he came out of the coffin, he was bright red.
Yeah.
But then he had the gray suit. So it's kind of weird how...
They really did a good job with the trailer misleading people, and I appreciate that, because they weren't, like, lying about the movie, you know, but they were just trying not to spoil a bunch of stuff.
No, but it was kind of to poke fun at the people that do watch every trailer and, like, watch all the news and watch all this stuff, because, I mean, unless you were really, really into it, you didn't know Juggernaut was going to be into it. You get, like, a brief glimpse in the trailer of, like, a dome, steel dome, and then you get, like, a little highlight in the in the truck. Of a heat signature of a big mutant. Mm-hmm. And other than that, like, unless you're really looking for it, there's no way you would have known. So that would have been a really big surprise for most people, I would feel
the
like.
The three of us are just so tuned in all the time because of this podcast. We, you know, get baited by all these articles and news and things like that. So the fact that I'm still surprised by some things is really nice.
But look at what they had to do to surprise. I mean, I truly appreciate it. I do.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's awesome that they were willing to do that. And maybe that's where they burned some extra budget by filming all those scenes that ended up not being in the movie.
Maybe I mean, I think about how much better Thor Ragnarok would have been had I not known going into it that Hulk was going to be there. I mean, how much more awesome would that have been if you bunched like, holy crap, he's here?
Yeah, they wanted to use him as the draw.
Of course. You know? And I get that, but still, I that's part of my beef with trailers, is I do appreciate when they do that misdirect on you.
Yeah.
And they did announce today also that they're going to be releasing an extended version of the movie on the Blu-ray. When it comes to video, or however people are calling it nowadays, there's gonna be I think it's only 12 minutes longer or something, but
well, 12 minutes
I've heard it will include killing
it's
baby
the Snyder cut is what they're calling it, the Snyder cut of the movie.
Are you serious?
No, but that would be sweet, right? They should put me on the marketing team for that.
That'd be hilarious.
I'm not sure they can call it that.
But why not? Snyder isn't a trademark term.
They could call it like Schneider, like Rob Schneider.
It's 12 minutes of Schneider. Rob Schneider jokes.
Oh my god. Just put
you
his
can
face,
do it!
Put his face on like a seal on the cover art. It's not like he's doing anything else right now.
That would be amazing.
Fantastic. I'd be good for this. See, that's funny.
Yeah, Derek would buy that steel book.
That's
funny.
Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you. All right.
I appreciate that.
I think that kind of wraps us up, so let's go around really fast and do our letter grades.
Ryan?
C plus.
Mike.
A minus.
Derek.
Well, you go next. We go in the circle.
Not when I'm hosting. You do it.
B minus.
I was going to say B minus too. All right. So that is going to end us today. Ryan, you want to tell everybody where you're at?
I am in Derek's basement right now.
On social media.
This is an undisclosed location.
Oh, I mean, at our undisclosed Heroes Podcast Network bunker.
Ryan, somewhere out in Canada.
If people wanted to reach you online, where could they find
you? Please don't. But you can find me at Buster Props. Look at my Etsy store. Don't look for me. Buster Props.
Are you
on
hidden
Etsy.
In all the photos?
Yes. Yes. I call it the Schneider cut of my photos. Yeah. Buster Props. Check it out.
Mike, can people reach you online?
Oh, I mean, they could try. I mean, it'd be a unique challenge.
Don't go after
him. Good luck. You'll find a Facebook page. It hasn't been updated since I got married. So about 7 or 8 years ago. Intense. And possibly an even older LinkedIn profile. And a lot of links to some guy on the Orioles named Mike Flanagan. Or a movie director named Mike Flanagan. Both are not me. I do not have an online presence.
Fair enough. I am the Star Trek dude Twitter and Facebook. You can find me on Gamer Heroes and Red Shirts and Runabouts, two other podcasts on the network.
I am Siren Ray, and we are the Heroes Podcast on every single... What?
No, you just said that funny.
It seemed normal to me.
Thank you.
It's all good.
We're the Heroes Podcast on every single thing that you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Twitch, and, you know, Facebook, and... No, my spirit's crushed.
Your spirit is crushed.
Right. Way to go, so Derek. About it.
Next week, we're talking Solo.
A Star Wars story.
I'm going to bring red cups for everybody. Not red Solo cups, because why would I do that? I'm not going to go buy a cupware for this. I'm just going to have red cups.
Okay, fair enough.
All right.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm really weird.
Wow. All right. Well, join us next week.
I'm out with my Schneider joke.
Yeah, Schneider's cut right there.
Peaked right here in episode 116. We will be back next week to review Solo, a Star Wars story. That is so hard for me to say. I want to say Han Solo. I always want to say Han Solo. I guess that's it for us. We'll catch you guys next time. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye.
Bye.